Welcome to the Dark Star Adventure Cast, where the stars are cold, the void is endless, and dangers lurk in every shadow. Out here, trust is a gamble, and survival is never guaranteed. On tonight's Adventure Cast,
we got one heavily armed man and one woman with very heavy arms.
Eat shit!
Yeah, I know. Does anybody have any snacks?
You're gonna be cleaning the train so fast it'll make your fucking head spin.
So sit back and enjoy. This is the Dark Star Adventure Cast.
Hey, we are back.
Let's go.
We're recording the podcast that we started as a bunch of friends. Okay, everyone, welcome back to Dark Star Adventures. Previously, you were helping Froggy, DJ, Voice of the Wastes, repair his radio tower because you wanted to attempt to use his tower to triangulate the position of your ship. And after your rolls from last time and taking a couple days to do that, at the beginning of this session, you have succeeded at that. So you've fixed the generator. The radio tower is now pumping out that good signal. And Felix, you're able to very easily hook into that system and using the other antennas that are placed throughout Wafisa, ping around and detect the signal from your ship. It is for sure right in the middle of Black Harbor.
All right, well, we got a bead on it. We know it's there for sure.
Well done, Felix.
Thanks, Felix.
Wait, you guys are leaving?
Sorry, Froggy. We got stuff we need to take care of.
Yeah, but, like, I thought we were all, like, friends.
Well, sure, but, you know, we're not from around here, so you stay here and you become the new voice of the Wastes, and we're gonna go get our ship and live our lives.
And you come back and you get me, right?
Of course, DJ Froggy, but I'm gonna tell you, you're not just our friend, you're our comrade.
I'm your comrade.
Comrade in arms.
And listen, Froggy, the generator will be fine for a long time. Don't touch it, okay? I saw what you did. Just don't touch it.
Okay.
It'll be fine. Just refuel it when you need to, but don't touch it.
Okay, and then you'll come back and you'll get me.
You're doing good stuff for the people out here, Froggy. And they need you a lot.
It sounds like you're not going to come back and get me, and I'm starting to get worried about that.
Yeah, you just keep holding on to that hope.
If we come back and get you, then who's going to be the voice of the Wastes?
I don't want to be the voice of the Wastes. Well, I thought I did, but now it's sort of like I have friends, and that's kind of cool.
What if I told you that our friendship was contingent on you being the voice of the Wastes?
What? And at that moment, a tinging noise resounds throughout the room. You look down to see an odd spherical container has bounced in through the window. Everyone roll save and throw evasion.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Thorn, failure. Haley, yeah. Failure. Robert, no. Failure. Felix, failure.
No. Oh, God.
A bright white light, as bright as the sun, flashes in front of your eyes, blinding you. The piercing scream of a banshee fills the room. Fall to the ground, holding your hands over your ears, rocking back and forth. Barely, through the din and the fire that has been beset upon your eyes, you see two shadowy forms coming through the doorway, the silhouettes of long rifles in their hands. They're shouting commands at you, but you can't quite make them out. You can't move. You can't think. Through the din, you eventually hear one of them say,
"Stay on the ground! Put your hands on your head! Hands on your head! Get on your bellies!"
I do that.
I'm already on the ground. I remain on the ground in a prone position.
I also do that because, you know, oh God.
Yeah, I go to the ground, but I might resist a little bit.
How do you resist?
I look sternly at them. And don't make it easy for him to cuff me.
You think that you're looking sternly at them, but you're like squinting real hard from the flashbang that just destroyed your
optical nerve.
And you're all laying on your ground, on your bellies, like a bunch of stuck pigs. And your eyes and your ears are slowly coming back. Felix, your hands are being bound behind your back. And you hear another guy back by the doorway. Everyone hears this guy speak into a radio and say, "Yeah, we've got five. Bring back up." Felix, your hands are now bound. Thorn, they are starting to work on your hands. Zip tie, feels like.
I swore I would not go back to prison, I say begrudgingly to my comrades, but I don't do anything about it. I mean, those guys have guns, and I have a still freshly healed wound from the last time that I got shot, so I'm not looking to cause any trouble in that department.
Okay, so they bind you up, and then you hear,
"You!
I said get down on the ground! Get down on the ground!" And everyone's eyes and ears have now cleared, and you look up to see Froggy standing in the DJ booth.
Get down on the ground! Get down on the ground!
And all at once, he makes a dash for it, out the door of the DJ booth, vaulting over your bodies, and reaching the door to the roof. He swings it open, but the soldiers are faster. The crack of the gun, the bullet piercing his breast. He slumps against the wall. He's still alive, but he's choking.
Oh.
He's gasping for breath.
Froggy!
The man gets back on the radio. Scratch that. We've got four for retrieval.
Who are you guys? What do you want with us?
The man that was tying up Thorne's hands comes back over to you. This gives you a swift slap across the face. We'll ask the questions.
Jeez.
When he does that, you spot a very familiar-looking insignia on his shoulder. Omnitech, the very company that you work for.
Hey, wait a second. You guys are with Omni? So are we. We're out here on a mission.
Yeah, you're with Omni the same way that a fly is with shit.
Man, what do you mean by that?
He walks over to Haley. Haley, he pulls your arms behind your back to start zip-tying you.
No, we're with Omnitech. We're here to get an Omnitech ship. What's your mission?
To stop you from getting an Omnitech ship. Dirty thieves.
Dirty thieves? What?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's that supposed to mean?
Who do you get your orders from? Do you know who we are?
A bunch of nobodies who stole a ship. And he finishes zip-tying your arms together. He walks over to Robert Ross and pulls your arms behind your back.
Now, I don't know if you guys are familiar with who we are. What division are y'all with? You ever heard of Blackout One?
Nope. And he pulls out a fresh zip tie for you.
Well, before you do that, I would radio your higher-ups. Give them our call sign. Make sure that what you're doing is what you're supposed to be doing, because you're going to be cleaning the train so fast it'll make your fucking head spin.
He gives you a swift elbow to the back of the head, bouncing your forehead against the ground. And he says, I know who you are.
That one's going to cost you.
Oh, yeah? How much?
We'll see. We're racking up a tab here. What you gonna do next, little kid?
He flips you around, having not zip-tied your hands yet, and he grabs you around the collar. He says, listen, old man, I do this as a job. You don't know who you're fucking with.
Then tell me. I ain't heard your call sign yet.
My call sign's confidential.
Mm-hmm.
Top secret.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That sounds a little like a stolen valor to me.
He pushes you back down to the ground, and he pulls out a plasma pistol. Maybe we're just gonna bring back three. I think some of these guys need to pay a little bit more than what Veridyne is going to do to them.
Veridyne, what the hell?
What does Veridyne want with our Omnitech mission?
We're with risk assessment, all right? We're with damage control. You stole a ship, and you're all resources of Omnitech, and you're on the lam. That simply does not do. But maybe we only got three of you back. Maybe this fourth one, this old man, didn't quite make it. And he gets real close to you, Robert Ross, and presses the gun to your chest.
Am I in a position where I can, like, knock this guy over somehow?
Your hands are tied behind your back and you're on your belly, but your legs are free.
Yeah, can I, like, kick him in his feet or shins?
Yeah, absolutely. You can try.
Yeah, I don't like this. Like, Robert, you're important to me. This is awful. We do not like these people. Yeah, so I kick the guy in his shins.
Okay,
yep.
Roll to hit.
Eat shit.
You hit with a 21, and because you are an unarmed specialist, you do massive damage. Oh my god.
Fuck him up.
You rolled max damage for 10. You shatter the poor man's femur in half. Not only do you kick his legs out from under him, you practically kick his legs off of him. He crumbles to the ground, the gun falling from his grasp. The other guy brings his rifle up to bear, and with that, we will roll initiative.
God, who is Omnitech hiring these days?
I'm just going to try to wiggle into a corner as fast as I can.
Haley, you had a surprise attack, and now you also won the initiative. So you kick this guy's legs, breaking his femur. He screams in agony as he falls to the ground. The other soldier runs up to you, drawing his rifle up. What would you like to do?
Like, my hands are still tied. I think I'm rolling over. Going to try to do... All I have to work with is my head right now and my legs, so can I headbutt him?
Yeah, so you spring to your feet and you jam your head into his nose on the way up.
This is my day.
Hits. Oh my god. 8 points of damage. You guys are only first level.
Oh my god.
Combat is done as quickly as it started.
Awesome.
Yeah, speaking of Froggy though,
oh my god, Froggy, are you okay? Oh, you can't talk. I have a Lazarus patch, a survival kit, a Lazarus patch. Let me see if I can stabilize you at least.
You can't, your hands are bound.
Oh god, someone, I have a survival kit in my bag.
Robert, would you give her a hand?
I run over, I grab that survival Lazarus pack and try to apply it to it for DJ Froggy as quick as I can.
So you can roll an intelligence heal or a dexterity heal skill.
Oh, I'm going to be all nimbly bimbly and use the fastest reflexes that I can to see if I can fix DJ Froggy for a 10.
Okay. So even though, and good thing you rolled a 10 because you had a -3 and the difficulty was 6. And the reason you had a -3 is for each round after the first, there's a -1 penalty to the skill check when applying a Lazarus patch. So it's been 3 rounds since he got shot. You apply the Lazarus patch, and he breathes a sigh of relief and falls unconscious.
Oh my god.
Well, y'all, I think he's still alive.
Yeah, I don't really care if he's still alive. Can you untie me? And I think these guys are still alive. And I'm pretty sure they radioed in for backup.
I don't know. I feel like Haley kicked this one dude's skull into the back of his teeth.
The other guy is whimpering and holding his leg, but otherwise not talking or screaming or anything like that.
I run over and try to unrestrain Haley first so that she can, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to get in this guy's face.
Exactly.
Okay, so you release Haley and then you snip everyone's bonds.
As soon as Thorne's bindings are cut, he gets up and grabs one of those rifles that fell on the ground and points it at the fallen guys just so that we have the upper hand in the situation.
And the first thing Felix does is I grab the data pad that the one guy was talking on and begin looking to see if I can get access to it to figure out what's going on.
So it's more like a radio he had like attached to his shoulder.
All right. Do they have any? All right. Well, I want to look them over then to see if they have any electronic equipment on them that I could use to like.
They do. They both have an armband with a digital display.
Okay, I'm going to grab that and start analyzing that to see if I can gain access to it.
Okay. All 4 of your pictures are on a dossier, and it says quite clearly that this is a risk management operation for Omnitech as ordered by parent company Viridyne to reclaim the stolen ship and assess the severity of the broken contracts.
Y'all, this is not good. They're saying we broke our contract.
We've been doing our mission this whole time.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, what kind of...
There was no time limit on our mission. What's going on here?
I knew you could never trust a corpo.
Are y'all able to glean any extra data off of that data pad, Felix? Can you tap into the source it's coming from?
No, I think that's pretty much it. It's pretty much locked in on that.
Damn, and it's just, is this the only group, or we got to start moving?
But I mean, we heard him radio in, Robert. We got to go. We got to go now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Let's move. Let's move, 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 people.
So you guys are leaving the radio station? You guys are just leaving Froggy there?
No, I think that on the way out the door, like, as everyone's like, hey, we got to get out of here, you know, I hate to say it, but I feel like Thorne is going to sling this rifle and just grab the unconscious Froggy and bring him with us without even thinking.
Thorne, you can't lift that guy up. I'll just give him to me, and I just throw him over my shoulder. Let's get to the Aurora.
Thorne, you're going to mess up. He's bleeding so bad. What do you think that's going to do to the value of our car?
And we have like a tarp or something?
We damn well better.
We do, actually.
Yeah, you guys specifically got a tarp at one point.
Yeah, the car was covered by a tarp.
It was over the car, yeah. So you make your way to the Aurora, which is covered by the tarp that you found it in. You guys recovered it, and you put the tarp down in the back seat, and you throw Froggy in.
This thing barely seats 4, so with Froggy, it's going to be a tight ride, but I couldn't leave him.
Hey, Robert, can you drive?
I mean, I think I can handle it. I've done a fair bit of driving in my day. Now, where are we headed, y'all? Are we going to Black Harbor?
Oh, yeah, head that direction.
Yeah, got to get off this place.
Thorne, you still got that communicator that Voss gave us?
Yeah.
All right, I think we got to call her, but we got to, like, not let her know that Omnitech is after us now.
All right.
But we got to find out more about Black Harbor.
All right. I pull out the communicator and I give the keys to Robert because, you know, you don't want to be using your hands and talking on the phone while you're also operating a motor vehicle.
Very mature of you.
A plutonium-powered vehicle.
Yeah.
I grab the keys, give them a little wink, letting them know you ain't getting these back.
Just keep it under 9,000 RPMs there, buddy.
Immediately hit the gas as hard as I can.
And you're on your way to Black Harbor. At the same time, you are calling Dr. Voss on the radio?
Yeah, so I put it on the appropriate channel, and I, you know, radio it in to her, and I just essentially call out, Dr. Voss, do you have a read? This is Thorn.
Thorn, yes, this is Dr. Voss. Have you gotten the ship back?
We are en route to picking up the ship now. We ran into a slight complication that means that time is now a factor. Just wanted to know from you what we should expect when we get to Black Harbor.
Well, I'm sending an aerial map taken from before the collapse of Wafisa to Felix's datapad now. Black Harbor is a coastal settlement that's under control of the Guardians of the Great Work. So it's mostly full of fisher folk and farmers who essentially live in squalor. And the military is in complete control of them and is extracting their wealth via taxes or just by taking their goods to try to fund their impossible dream of restoring Wafisa to its glory, which is obviously never going to happen. This place is done for. There's some important areas on there, so if you take a look at the map, you'll see that there's some docks, there's the market, there's the rust yards, which is just a big junkyard, there's the outer farms, which is where they grow this strange purple flower, which is used in drugs for medicinal purposes, and there's, of course, the Guardian compound, which takes up about half of the total landmass of Black Harbor. Inside the compound is an airfield, and I'm assuming in that airfield is your ship. There are three gates to get in, on the west side, the south side, and on the east side of Black Harbor. Going in through the east gate would bring you straight to the airfield, but is probably the most heavily guarded by the Guardians.
I got the map right here. What do you think, Felix?
Oh, yeah, this is going to help us out a lot. Thanks, Doc. All right, it looks like our ship is right here in the airfield, unfortunately within that compound area you mentioned, Doc. Looks like we're going to have a hell of a time getting in, guys.
Well, I guess the question becomes, do we take the East Gate, or do we try our luck getting in the city otherwise and go through that compound on the west side? Time is a factor.
And I'd love to see how high these fences are. I mean...
Oh, the walls? 22 and a half feet to 24 feet, depending on where you are inspecting the walls. They're also about 18 inches thick on average.
Yeah, still good. Any chance of us coming at it from the water?
Yes, that's possible. There are docks. The walls do go out into the ocean a little bit. And the ocean is only slightly toxic to humans, so you should be mostly okay. Just make sure you're in a dirigible and not swimming.
Thorn, do you know if this car can hover over bodies of water?
Sorry, no luck on that department. It's not meant for that. It hovers, but not like that.
I mean, we could always try.
Robert, no, it will not work. Machines don't just try.
Sounds like the water might be out. Unless DJ Froggy had some wetsuits or something for us, but that might be, it looks like the gates are where we're gonna go. Do we want to try to go through the heavily armed gate, or maybe create a little distraction? What are y'all thinking?
Unless we're going in there guns blazing, grabbing the ship and blasting out, I think the East Gate's out of the question.
Guys, let's go back to basics. I'm grabbing the radio from, like, Felix or Robert. I don't know. I'm still in chaos mode. I'm, like, I had a really great battle, you guys.
The bloodlust is still, like, fueling your actions.
Alara, if we set the flowers on fire, what's going to happen?
If you set the flower... You mean the purple flowers in the field?
Yes. The medicinal ones.
Well, depends who's downwind. But anyone that breathes that in is going to have either a really good time or a severe allergic reaction.
How common are the allergies?
Oh, one in every 1,250 people have a reaction in trials.
Oh, that's not good. Okay.
It's essentially a heavy narcotic.
Now you're speaking my language.
I just glare at Felix.
But when I'm calculating the number of residents of that village, and I'm looking at local weather patterns, I think if just the right field was set on fire, it would only hit the Black Harbor compound and not the actual civilian population.
That's very kind of you, Alara. Thank you for that thought. Guys, I think we can set some flowers on fire.
Oh, yeah. It's a great idea, Haley.
I love me some fire. Yeah, that'll definitely do her.
So you drive a couple miles away from Black Harbor, and you're starting to get to the beginnings of the purple flower fields. You see that there's acres on both the left side and the right side, and the road goes straight to the southern gate, which is directly in the middle of Black Harbor itself. So, like Dr. Laravas said, setting the right field on fire with the current wind, which you test, and she's alarmingly accurate, should only float dust from the fire or smoke from the fire over that half of Black Harbor. So you have several different ways that you can create fire. So what's the grand plan here? What are you planning?
I whip out my notebook from my gear, and I'm like, all right, guys, mind up the thought. We set fire to these fields, like Alara said. It's going to take out their military presence over here in Black Harbor. What we can do next is sneak in through the gate, use this confusion to our advantage, and get into that airfield and take your ship when everyone else is incapacitated.
Hell of a plan, boss. I love it.
Definitely a fan. Now, one thing I'm going to add, because I want this car. Whew, it's a nice drive. We got to stash it somewhere where we're going to be able to pick it up on the way out.
We'd just drive it in.
True. We could drive the car.
Don't get bluff us in. They're all going to be high as hell. Should be no problem. Just act natural. Take advantage of the situation. Cruise right up to the scapegoat. And off of this planet.
Perfect.
I love it.
Now, as far as getting this fire going, I think, and I grab Haley's notebook from her, I think if we overload a few power cells at these spots, that should get us enough momentum for a good raging fire to get going.
Love it.
Anything else we need to prep? Do we need to wait to a certain time of day, or are we just going to let her rip?
I think we got to get this done before the wind changes.
And that sounds smart to me.
Yep, agreed. Sooner the better.
Hey, Spacers, thanks for cruising through the cosmos with us. If you want to go behind the airwaves and dive deeper into our universe, join our Patreon crew. You'll get ad-free early access to every episode, as well as a host of bonus content, including Starmaster logs, what I'm planning, what I'm improvising, and what secrets are still waiting in the dark. Ooh. Your support helps keep this ship running and the stories unfolding. So if you love exploring the Viridian Expanse with us, hop on over to patreon.com/darkstaradventurecast and become part of the crew. Thanks for being on board. Let's follow that signal together. So, planned out. You set a fire in the right-hand field, set several different points of fire, and the field goes ablaze, and thick plumes of purple smoke rise into the sky, caught by the northerly wind, sweeping it out to the sea and directly over the Black Harbor Guardian Fort.
I do try to grab a few lungfuls.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So go ahead and roll a mental saving throw. Terrible roll. Terrible. You are high as hell. You are high to the point where you're not super useful.
Oh, God.
Though. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you guys seeing the effects that it has on Felix, known drug abuser, you're starting to worry about your own ability to resist it when you eventually have to inhale it by going into the fort.
So, does the car have windows?
The car does have windows.
Take it easy. We're still on a mission.
Yeah, I know. Does anybody have any snacks?
Guys, you gotta roll up the car windows. We cannot all end up like him.
Roll them up.
The strange thing about this car is everything's automatic except for the windows. So everyone starts pumping the windows, just rolling them up.
We love that retro flair.
Yeah, there's a lot of, there's one retro feature in this car. Actually, there's a bunch, because the guy had a leather driving jacket and leather gloves, so he's sort of a retro aficionado.
I am wearing them now, so.
It's also a manual hover car, just to be difficult.
Not that the transmission is manual, it's that the hovering is manual.
There's grates in the floor, and everyone just has to, like, blow really hard.
It's like the Flintstones, but with your lungs.
So, everything is on fire. Well, not everything. A field of purple flowers, which is probably incredibly valuable to this community, and you're probably destituting everyone that lives here.
Some more
is now on fire, and you're safe and sound inside of your extremely expensive hover car. Luxury
retro.
It's so luxury that it has roll-up windows, and you are on the southern road that leads to the southern gate, but there is a road that loops around to the eastern gate as well.
That's the one we want.
The eastern gate road?
Yeah, I pull up the map and I point at Robert, who's supposed to be focusing on the road.
Honey, we want to go head for this road and this gate here.
I'm sorry, I'm just inhaling a little bit of smoke here. Yep, yeah.
No.
No inhaling. Don't
He's
breathe.
Rolling the window down.
Yeah, buddy. It's so good.
Just drive.
I'm not even trying to, y'all, but I think it's this road, or is it that road? No, it's this one. Okay. Just slow and steady. Nothing to see here. Don't be weird.
I try to reach over Thorn to roll down the window so I can get a bit more.
I slap his hand.
While we're driving, I'm checking Froggy's pockets for snacks.
Okay. In Froggy's pockets, you find something wet, and you pull it out, and it kind of looks like a... You know when a tissue gets super wet and starts to disintegrate? It's like that, but it's like a brown thing. And that's it. That's all that's in his pockets. And his pockets are not wet. Just this object is wet.
I make a weird face and I kind of wipe it off on his cheek.
So now he has a brown blob on his cheek. Meanwhile, he's still bleeding pretty good, but it's stopping because of the Lazarus patch. And as the brown sludge runs down his cheek, he kind of like licks at it in his sleep. He looks like the troublemaker.
He's so different when he's high versus when he's sober. When he's sober, he's just mad all the time.
Yeah, he's not fun when he's sober. I don't know if that's the message we want to be putting out here, but listen, if anyone's listening to this podcast, being high makes you a more fun person. Any kids, 10 or below, if you're listening, you shouldn't be. This is not a good podcast for you.
It is not. Oh, my God.
So, Robert Ross, you take the eastern road and you make your way over to the eastern gate. As you pull up, you see that the gate is actually flung wide open. There are two guards outside of it, and they're maybe 20 feet to the east of the gate. So as you're approaching them, they're between you and the gate. And behind them, there's just like five other soldiers, no guns or anything, just like hacking up a lung and like leaning against the wall and like looking dizzy or laying on the ground.
I do not just blow past the gate. I make sure to slow roll up to it and give him a little bit of a wave and see what the guards do.
Leave this one to me.
Okay, so as you're slowly pulling up to these two guys and they're walking towards you, you can see they're kind of stumbling a little bit. One goes on the driver's side at the driver's side window, and one goes to the passenger side window. Thorn, you are on the passenger side if you're the one talking to people.
So my plan here was kind of just to not make a big thing out of this and just flash something that could easily be misconstrued as identification, and then just have Robert keep going.
He knocks on the window, and he knocks on the window a second time. Open the window.
Yeah, I crack it. What do you want?
He says, what do you want?
This is a routine delivery.
Who are you? Wait, what do you want? Wait, huh? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you?
We're making a routine delivery.
Why does my voice sound so weird? Who are you? And he's looking over the car at his friend. Who are you? Why is my voice...
Your voice does sound weird, dude.
Right? Oh, my... Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? What is that? It doesn't mean anything.
Move your lips more.
My lips.
Listen, we gotta go. We're really busy, so... Just let me know how that goes, though.
My lips. And then you guys just drive away. So the window was cracked, I'm sorry to say.
Oh,
a
no.
Little bit got in. Just enough for the person directly next to the window to perhaps be affected. Go ahead and roll saving throw mental. He's a maniac. That's a failure. Oh, so you are not as bad off as Felix because he failed spectacularly. But you just got a little bit, like the actual real medicinal amount. And your gunshot wound, that throbbing pain that you have on the side of your chest goes away almost completely.
Oh, I think I got a little bit there as I'm rolling up the window. I hate to encourage you, Felix, but man, this stuff works pretty well.
Yeah, it does.
So you drive in through the open gate and you find yourself in the airfield. So the airfield of Black Harbor is essentially flanked by two rows of warehouses and is obviously not supposed to be an airfield. In the original layout of whatever this was, it's two rows of warehouses with a big open space between them that was once very grassy, but is now just like spotted with dead grass and has been just run over by spaceships and jeeps and various four-wheeled vehicles over and over and over again, turning it into like mostly just a bunch of mud. On the far south side of the airfield, which is where you are, there is a guard station, completely empty. There are two guards outside of the guard station, sitting outside of it, laughing, talking, hugging, and leading along the airfield as you follow it with your eyes going north are several derelict spaceships that have been completely gutted. And then two, I wouldn't say pristine, but spaceships that look like they could actually fly. One is the Scapegoat, and the other one is a triangular affair with landing gear under each point of the triangle. Kind of looks like a stealth bomber. So the Scapegoat is just a couple hundred feet away from you.
There she is.
Oh my god, she's more beautiful than I remembered.
The hatch is down, and there is one soldier outside of the hatch bearing the Omnitech insignia on his shoulder.
Easy there, Robert. I'm worried about this one.
Yeah, now, do we want to do anything about this here other ship? Because we might want to make sure that it can't follow us.
Does it have any markings that we can identify?
No, it's just a black triangle. It is an incredibly aggressive-looking ship, but no insignia, no markings, no nothing.
Do either myself or Robert recognize the ship type, or is it something weird and experimental?
That is an excellent question. So, Haley, you wouldn't know what this is, necessarily. You mainly spent your time in dropships, if you were in a ship at all. Robert Ross, you can go ahead and roll pilot to see if this is something that you ran into during your training.
And with that, I rolled pilot intelligence of a 10. So
nice.
I'm curious. This might be something that I got trained on. I actually think Haley with one Y might have shown me how this here works.
So, Robert, you've seen this before, and you know that it's a stealth spaceship used for covert missions, but you're not aware of, like, its model or designation or even how many have been produced.
Yeah, y'all, we used these for some wet work back in the day somewhere. We were neither supposed to be seen or heard. Now, that I'm worried about may be a problem if it follows us. But I don't know. Everybody's too high to know what they're doing. So do we want to ignore it and keep rolling onto the Scapegoat? Or what does the team think? Do we want to get up in there and maybe do a little sabotage?
I'm mostly worried about that guy right there standing outside the Scapegoat.
So the hatch is down for the Scapegoat, and this guy's standing directly in front of the hatch. And he has a breather on, so he doesn't seem to be affected by the gas.
Is the hatch a walkway, or is it like a ramp that we could drive the car up?
It's a ramp. It goes directly up into the first cargo hold, and then from the first cargo hold to the second cargo hold, there's only a walkway. So the first cargo hold's for larger cargo only.
Hey, Haley, quick question.
Yep. You
ever killed a man with a rifle in a moving vehicle while holding your breath?
I'm more of a puncher, but no. I mean...
Would you like to?
Yeah. Yeah, I would. That'd be great. Just wanna... Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, here we go. So what's happening? You guys are quickly closing the distance between you and this man in front of the Scapegoat. And as you get closer, he notices that you're not stopping and you seem quite hostile.
He's about to find out exactly how hostile, because my thought here is that Robert just keeps us going and Haley just takes this Omnitech bug out before he even gets a chance to notice what the heck's going on.
Okay, well, time's up. You guys are basically just like 100 feet from him now. And he sees that you are now an aggressor, and he begins to open fire.
Pulling the Aurora.
You guys are unrolling the window, and Haley's sticking half her body out the window and getting ready to fire. But before all that happens, this guy gets a free shot. I rolled an 8. His shot goes low. Haley.
Unfortunately, I'm -1 on shoot, but let's do it. Oh.
You miss. Your shot goes wide.
I pass it back.
No, have confidence in yourself.
I shoot again.
Well, you can just choose to hit.
Oh,
Yeah.
Seriously? Yes, I hit him. I hit him for 8.
Okay, your shot goes wide. No, wait. No, it doesn't. The laser careen just boom, hits him in the chest for 8 points of damage. He goes flying backwards, his breather falling off of his face, and he takes a big old sweet inhale of that sweet, sweet purple flower as he falls into oblivion. And dies.
Oh god, I roll up the window.
Robert, you drive over his corpse, and then you drive up the ramp and into the Scapegoat. You are now in Cargo Bay 1, the one that Felix fixed with a giant hunk of metal plating on your first space car.
Yeah, you can still see the metal plate welded to the wall over there.
Feels good to be home, y'all.
Whew. We're not home yet.
I gotta get out of here.
I push some buttons on a control panel that makes the cargo bay ramp close.
I snap awake. What happened?
You're in the back of the car alone. Everyone else has already gotten out and you're talking to yourself.
He's talking to Froggy.
Froggy's unconscious.
It was the poor Froggy.
Yep. That's the unconscious backseat.
You're laying on Froggy.
That's where we put the unconscious people.
You've like mashed the brown sludge into your own face as well at this point.
I wipe it off. I pat him on the chest and I open the door and make my way out of the car.
All right, everybody, get to your stations. We got to get this xenolinguist and we got to get out of here before Omnitech gets word.
Okay, let's not be so hasty. Because as you all exit the cargo bay, you hear a slow clap coming from the bridge.
Like a person sarcastically clapping or like something making a clapping sound slowly?
The former.
Great.
The clapping continues as you follow the sound to the bridge.
I start clapping and I join it in with the clapping.
On offbeats just to annoy whoever it is.
No, I think it's like congratulating us for getting the ship back. So I'm like clapping along with it.
Good job, us.
Guys, the ship's clapping for us.
I ready my fists.
I pull out my pistol.
So you follow the clapping noise all the way to the bridge. Felix clapping along enthusiastically. And there you see, sitting in the captain's chair, a man with shaven sides of his head, long blonde hair on top, brown eyes, square-cut jaw, the uniform of a Viridian Laboratories employee, the jet black with the white trim, slow clapping, one leg crossed over the other, and he says, "I was wondering when you were going to show up."
Who the hell are you?
Who the hell am I? Well, quite an interesting way to make an introduction.
Well, that's how I act when there's a stranger on my bridge.
I'm almost offended you don't know who I am. My name is Victor Strake. Have you heard of me?
Have I?
No.
Can't say that I have.
You haven't. It's fine. You don't. It's fine. People know of me.
Which people?
People know your dumb haircut.
It's popular where I'm from, just like me.
Where are you from?
That's top secret.
Well, anyway, that leads me to my second question. What the hell are you doing on my bridge?
That's your first mistake. This is not your bridge. This is my bridge. This is a ship owned by Omnitech, and Omnitech is owned by Viridian, and I am Viridian's top risk management officer. You've stolen this ship. This is my ship. We are taking it back, and we are taking you with it. You will be questioned, we will find out everything that happened, and then you will pay for your crimes. Probably in corpo jail.
I am not going back to prison.
Well, newsflash, yes you are.
Victor, we came here on a mission, and we are very close to finishing it. So what changed?
The only reason I haven't arrested you yet is because I'd like to know exactly what you think you are doing. You're certainly just meandering across the sector. You certainly aren't acting like you've stolen a ship from Omnitech. You're acting like, well, you're acting incredibly disrespectful. And to be a bit honest with you, it was way too easy to catch you. An embarrassment, in fact. So what do you think you're doing here?
It was easy to catch us because we weren't running, man. We were just on a mission. We got the ship. Like, on orders from Omnitech, and we're here to get, like, Dr. Voss.
Ah, Dr. Alara Voss. I suspected this traced back to her. You know, I just didn't think she had any help. But now that I know that, we'll grab the good doctor, the four of you can come with us, and we'll get to the bottom of this once and for all.
You're quite confident.
You keep seeing us, and I just see you. And a Pat Robert, and a Pat Haley.
Yeah, I'm wondering what stopping us from taking this ship real quick here.
We got one heavily armed man and one woman with very heavy arms.
He spreads his hands wide, and then your radio crackles. Dr. Voss comes over the radio and says,
"Have you got the ship back yet? I sort of need you to come back right now."
I just grab it and I radio, "Yeah, working on it.
I'm not alone here, and they're coming in, whether I like it or not. Oh, God, they've got a drill now."
I look at the guy sitting in presumably my chair. Friends of yours, I assume?
Yes. I brought a few soldiers on loan from Omnitech. They really want their ship back.
Gonna pull out my pistol.
He just grins at you.
And I'm gonna shoot him.
His grin stays on his face even as he dies. He slumps over in the chair.
Oh no.
What an annoying piece of shit. Robert, get this guy off the ship.
Yeah, I'm giving him the old heave-ho.
No, pat him down first.
Mm-hmm.
On the body, you find absolutely nothing.
Well then.
Is the body bleeding?
Yes.
Okay. It's not a robot.
No, it's not a robot.
No, I would know if it was a robot. I would have smelled it.
So, Robert, you grab his body, sling him over your shoulder, and just dump him out the side of the ship. And you power up the ship. Everything slowly warms up. The back of the ship has finished closing. The engines begin to spin. The familiar hum of the scapegoat that you heard for months on end as you were traveling between Kamiri 4 and Wafisa fills the cabin. Everyone takes their station and you lift off.
Atta girl.
Thorn, out of the front of the ship.
Oh no.
As Robert is lifting you off, you are looking out the front windows of the ship and you spot that stealth fighter. A hatch opens on its side and from out of it comes Victor Strake. He grins up at you as you fly off.
Did anyone else see that? What?
What?
I was hugging my console.
The creep with the weird haircut.
Yeah, the one I killed.
No, I just saw him get out of the stealth fighter. Must have been a clone or something.
Nah, it must be his weird brother. Now we're gonna have like a family feud on our hands. Ugh, those are the worst.
And so, reunited with the scapegoat, you mark a heading for Southern Wafisa to pick up Dr. Ilara Voss, whose last transmission to you was concerning, to say the least. But those are problems for another time.
Oh, what was I thinking? I always said people before product, but this? Oh, that Victor Strait guy? That situation resolved itself way too easily. I'm sure I saw his identical twin step out of that stealth ship. No way that's the last we hear of Aridyne. You can't trust these Corpo scum one bit. Why are they saying we stole from them after they sent us on this mission? Was it a setup? Something doesn't add up. And this mess, oh, why did I bring this Froggy guy with us? I couldn't just leave him there. He has good music taste and everything. Oh, but the Aurora. The backseat interior is covered in blood and some kind of weird brown goo. And the body's full of bullet holes. So much for the collector's value. When Froggy wakes up, he's going to be spending long hours helping me clean this old girl back up. Of course, that's assuming we get off this stinkhole alive.
Damn. This flower's starting to wear off. Well, it was nice to be high for a bit, because otherwise this day was a huge pain in the ass. Finally fixed that goddamn mess of a generator that DJ Brown Goo Froggy fucked up, which, by the way, nobody thanked me for, only to wind up on the run from Omnitech, who I thought I was working for. And I really do not need this kind of attention from them right now, not when I've been flying under their radar for so long. But now I've gone and killed one of their apparent top men, while also angering his psycho-looking twin brother. So, I mean, who knows what kind of heat is going to come down on me now. I really just cannot wait to go get Dr. Voss, get the hell off this planet, and try to put some of the pieces together to solve this puzzle. Because I really just don't have the answers right now. And it's starting to piss me the hell off.
Ooh, I love seeing Haley kick some ass and take some names. In her little notepad, of course. And Froggy gets shot, and Thorn has to bring him along. God, now we got another mouth to feed. I swear, if he steals my orange juice, I'll space him. I mean, I had a whole plan. Make Froggy the voice of the wastes, lead a revolution, and other things were gonna happen. I hadn't gotten there yet. Well, that all went up in smoke. Speaking of, I cannot believe Felix and Thorn getting high on mission. I mean, Felix, I expect. Thorn? Wait, damn it. That was my opportunity. I should have challenged him to Lokipon. Next time. What the hell was that Victor Strike nonsense? Well, it wouldn't be the first clone I've seen. Man, this whole thing reeks.
This mission has been off the rails since we met the Drift Rats, and it just keeps getting worse. So, might as well lean in. Guess we're adding arson to the problem-solving options list. Felix getting high off the flowers was acceptable collateral. We did manage to get the ship back. And hopefully that's the last we hear of Victor Strake or Veridyne until we figure out what's going on with Ilara and get off this planet. Jobs are not supposed to be like this. Veridyne, Omnitech, not sure what is going on. But we're going to figure it out. We're going to take care of this stuff with Ilara, and we're going to get off fucking Wafisa.
Will the crew be able to save the good doctor? Who is Victor Strake? And what exactly is going on with their Omnitech contract? Tune in next time for the answers to these questions and more
on the Dark Star Adventure Cast. If you're enjoying the show and want to dive deeper into the lore, please check out our Patreon. You'll get ad-free, early access to every episode, plus a whole bunch of bonus content, including the Star Master Logs, where I personally break down how the campaign's put together, what I'm planning, what I'm improvising, and what secrets are still waiting in the dark. You'll also get Haley's notes ripped straight from her old-school analog notebook, as well as exclusive character insights, behind-the-scenes glimpses you won't hear in the main show, and much more. Support the mission at patreon.com/darkstaradventurecast. And as always, thanks for listening, and keep following that signal.